Pelicans have a new GM, and their boss says that the Pels are the right environment for Zion and AD. Live reports from the SEC baseball tournament coming your way. We'll also talk with the man who coached the newest member of the LSU basketball Tigers. We'll find out about the player on the court and the person off the court today, Tuesday, May 21st, 2019.
Now the set pitch on the way, swung on, lifted in the air toward left field, hit pretty good, going back to the track, going to the wall, he looks up, and that ball is gone, it's out of here. Bradley goes the other way, an opposite field home run to make it 8-2, Red Sox.
Curry trying to relocate, gets free. Doubled immediately on the catch. Over to Draymond for three. It's up and good! Draymond Green!
It's not a two this time. It's a legitimate three.
119-150. Golden State and Portland wants time. Big time bucket.
Here's a 2-1. That ball's ripped. There's your first home run. Tyler White, get up and out of here. It does. A blast to left center field over the train tracks. Astros lead 3-0 on Tyler White's first home run of the season.
Oh, happy Tuesday. How are you, Acadiana, and around the world listening to us, however you may be listening, whether on the radio, smartphone, 1037thegame.com, or however you're doing it, we greatly appreciate you doing it. CD, back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studio, spinning the twos, pushing all the buttons, taking your phone calls at 337-706-0111. Got a busy show planned for you and yours today. Lots and lots to talk about, including the Golden State Warriors closing the door on the Portland Trailblazers as the trio did it again. I mean, goodness gracious. Steph Curry, 37 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, only two turnovers. He has been absolutely spectacular. How spectacular? He's played five games now with Kevin Durant out of the lineup due to an injury. Five games. And Steph Curry in those five games averaging 35.8 points, 7.6 rebounds, 6.6 assists, with a 66.3 true shooting percentage. And over the course of those five games, he's a plus 60 in the plus minus category. He is remarkable. And yet he's not even the MVP of the series against Portland, because that goes to Draymond Green, who only had 18 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. The consummate stat sheet stuffer and the ultimate winner. And now the Warriors get to sit back and rest and relax a little bit. Relax a little bit. We'll have much more on them. The SEC baseball tournament's gotten off in typical dramatic fashion. Texas A&M and Florida, it went 10 innings. Jonathan DeCoff had a three-run go-ahead home run in the eighth. Florida came back and tied it up at 7. And in the 10th, DeCoff had a walk-off base hit to win it. A&M wins it 8-7. They had 6 runs scored with 2 outs in the inning across the board. And so A&M survives and advances. Florida goes home, waiting to see if they get into the tournament. Right now, 10th-seeded Missouri in the bottom of the second leads 7th-seeded Ole Miss 1-0. So, remember that. Of course, after that ball game, it'll be Auburn versus Tennessee, and then LSU, depending upon how long or how quickly those games go, they will take on the nightcap against South Carolina. I can't tell you exactly what time. Just keep it tuned in to 103.7 The Game. We'll have the pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Set for 8 p.m., but, you know, weather's not going to be a problem. It's just going to be hot, but it's just how quickly these games come and go. First game went extra innings, so we'll see from there. But coming up on the program, about 2:15, we'll head out to the Hoover Met. Our good friend Bill Franquez will give us the lowdown on LSU baseball. Cole Henry will get the start tonight. As we talked with Paul Maneri here yesterday, he said he's hoping against hope he can get three innings out of him. And then he'll go from there. So we'll talk with Bill Franquez. Really looking forward after that to talking to Bucky McMillan. You're going, who the heck is Bucky McMillan? You know, he might be the best, he's regarded as the best high school basketball coach in the state of Alabama. He coached Trendon Watford. And Trendon Watford picked LSU over Alabama, Memphis, and Indiana. Bill Armstrong did a tremendous job, knows the family real well, recruited the kid when he was a freshman. We'll learn about Trendon Watford from his coach's perspective. What kind of a game does he have, and what kind of a person is he off the court? So looking forward to talking to Bucky McMillan around 2:32 this afternoon. Hour number two, Hot Topics, always starts it off. CD and I have a lot of fun with that. Then we'll head back to Hoover, Alabama. Former LSU All-American, the best hitter I've ever seen swing a bat for the LSU Tigers, Todd Walker, now doing analyst work for the SEC Network. He'll have the call of the LSU-South Carolina game. We'll get his perspective on LSU, South Carolina, and the entirety of the SEC tournament this week. There's a new general manager for the New Orleans Pelicans, Trajan Langdon, in a teleconference call today with David Griffin to the media across the world. Will Guillory listened in. He'll share his thoughts on Trajan Langdon, the reason why he came to New Orleans, leaving a team that went to the playoffs this year in the Brooklyn Nets. And that raises the speculation of, is Brooklyn a player in the AD sweepstakes? And does David Griffin and Trajan Langdon have a plan in place to re-recruit Anthony Davis and get him to sign back with the Pels? David Griffin thinks that New Orleans with Zion Williamson is the perfect fit for Anthony Davis. Are they going to try and sell them on the approach of David Robinson, the Admiral at San Antonio? Yeah, he was really good, and then they really took off when they added Tim Duncan, regarded as the greatest power forward to ever play the game. Will they sell them on that two-man type of approach? We shall see. So we'll talk with Will Guillory about that. So there is our lineup for the day. We are brought to you by Hooters each and every day. Got so many games on television. Now, throughout the course of the afternoon, throughout the evening, why don't you kill two birds with one stone? Get a great meal, fun meal, and watch everything that you could possibly watch on all the televisions that they have at the newly renovated Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Hooters, it just makes you happy. Just does. All right, we've got two outs, bottom of the second. Missouri leading Ole Miss, one zip. Ole Miss has a runner at first, an 0-1 count. And it's a single elimination ball game. So again, Texas A&M in 10 innings beats Florida 8-7. Oh, by the way, Kelvin Joseph, he's not in that transfer portal anymore. Dad said, he ain't going nowhere. It's got to be an academic issue. And he's in the intercession program as we speak right now. And he's going to be A-OK. That's good. Don't want to lose him. He's too talented at a position where you can't have enough talent. The defensive secondary. So, good news. We'll see if the Tigers keep up the good news tonight when we come back after this first time out of the day. We'll go to the Hoover Met. Our good friend Bill Franquez will join us, and we'll talk some LSU baseball. Cole Henry, can he re-find it? Can he become the ace and give him at least give him three good innings? That would certainly help. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 106.7. 1037 The Game.
Well, tonight, LSU baseball will hope to not have to pack their bags up and head on home. It's a single elimination matchup, LSU versus South Carolina. And when you turn on 103.7 The Game, you'll listen to the voice of the Tigers. And you'll also listen to our guest, the voice of Alec Box Stadium. The legendary Bill Franke is kind of going to join us. Hey, Bill, how's the Hoover, the world of Hoover, Alabama, treating you?
It's wonderful here in Hoover. It's very hot, but no rain in the forecast. Really, there's no rain in the forecast at all for the entire week, which is great. I know the SEC administration and our friend Herb Vincent, who runs the tournament, they're very pleased about that forecast. But the tournament's off to a good start. Already had an extra inning game.
Yeah, good for you. We'll see about 9 o'clock tonight, Bill. About 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we were just Matt Chris Blair and I were just talking about proposed start times, and I guess 9:15 is what I'm going with. He said 9:30, so we'll see.
Wow.
We'll see how it works out.
Drink some coffee. Look, LSU is the best team in SEC baseball tournament history by far. They've won 12 tournament titles. Alabama, Mississippi State are second with 7, so it's not even close. What is it about LSU East and the Hoover Met and LSU baseball? What is it about that?
Yeah, as you know, Jordy, traditionally LSU under Coach Maneri seems to play much better toward the end of the season. And that regular season momentum always seems to carry over into Hoover, and the Tigers have played extremely well here. The tournament really has grown into a great event. It's so well managed and so well organized. The stadium has been renovated and updated with all the modern conveniences. The field is in spectacular shape. The hotel where all the teams are housed is this very nice hotel that connected to the River Chase Mall, which of course is ideal for the players. It's just a very comfortable atmosphere and environment for the players. They enjoy being here. They enjoy the police escorts that they get. The buses get police escorts from the hotel to the ballpark. They've added here in the last couple of years first-class hitting facilities and more practice fields for teams to work out on prior to games. So it's such a fantastic event that I think any young man who loves baseball would thrive in this environment, and LSU certainly has taken advantage of the opportunities it's had here over the years.
Bill Franke is kind enough to join us from Hoover, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina tonight. It's not going to be 8 o'clock. It's going to be later than that, but just stay tuned, and the pregame show will be a half an hour before the first pitch. Shot in the arm, right? I mean, it's got to be a little bit more pep in this club step now. Cole Henry got the nod. He's going to be pitching, and Paul Maneri told us yesterday he hopes to get 3 innings out of Cole.
That's exactly right, Jordy. Cole will start tonight. Of course, he hasn't pitched since the Florida series, so he's missed 4 straight weekends of starts. So he gets an opportunity for the first time since April the 19th is the last time he pitched. That was when he struck out 12. In 5 1/3 innings against Florida. Unfortunately, the next day he experienced some soreness in his elbow, and he hasn't pitched since. But he's worked his way back, and he pitched some over the weekend with Coach Dunn, with Alan Dunn, the pitching coach, Coach Maneri, and Corey Couture, our trainer, and he's pitching pain free. So it's a very optimistic outlook for Cole.
Yeah.
And again, he won't go beyond 3 innings today. Hopefully he'll give the Tigers 3 solid innings and get LSU off to a good start. And meanwhile, the offense will need to give him some early runs to take some pressure off of him. And we're looking for the first step for Henry in being back to where he was before he first experienced that elbow soreness.
That would be terrific. Get 3 this time, and then come regional time, maybe get you 5, something like that.
Exactly.
That would be terrific. You've been through a lot of these scenarios in your storied career with LSU baseball. LSU's 17-13 in the SEC. They've won 4 of their last 5 games. They're number 21 in the latest RPI rankings, and you throw in the 19 wins over top 50 RPI teams. What does LSU have to do to get to host a regional in your mind?
In my mind, Jordy, LSU, of course, must win tonight. That's the absolute. If LSU were to lose tonight to South Carolina, I think certainly LSU would still have a case for a regional, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't either.
If the Tigers were to lose to South Carolina, which, of course, has not had a very good year, they're 8-22 in SEC play. They're only one game above 500 and overall. So a loss to South Carolina, I think, would severely damage the Tigers' hopes of hosting a regional. Now, if LSU wins tonight and would defeat Mississippi State tomorrow, then I think that would just about lock it up, I would think. I think two wins here, especially a win over a team like Mississippi State, which I believe their RPI is number 4 right now, and that would be the third win over Mississippi State this year. The Tigers did that, and I think they'd be in great shape to host a regional. So the key is obviously get to tomorrow by winning tonight's game, and then I think of a win over Mississippi State would just about ensure the Tigers that they'd be at home next weekend.
You never know what you're going to get with South Carolina. You mentioned that they don't have a very good record, but they did defeat Mississippi State in Starkville on the final day of the regular season to earn the final bid into the SEC tournament. They don't hit well, they don't pitch well, but they hit a lot of home runs.
You know, it's amazing, Jordy. Their team batting average is .236, which is the worst batting average in the SEC. But then you keep moving across the stat line, and you look in the home runs column, and it says 75 home runs.
That's crazy.
75 home runs is the second highest total in the SEC. And, of course, the ballpark is pretty homer-friendly, Founders Park in Columbia. But still, and you have to respect that type of power and that type of ability to put up runs. And, in fact, in the first game today between Texas A&M and Florida, the wind was just gusting out, and several balls were hit a long way. So perhaps the conditions would be a little different by late tonight. But in most cases, this is a ballpark that is more pitcher-friendly than homer-friendly. With the wind blowing out like it was earlier today, it can't be a hitter-friendly ballpark. But, yeah, South Carolina definitely presents a challenge. That 236 team batting average, it sort of disarms you a little bit. But then you realize that they do have that power potential. There are 4 guys in their lineup with double-digit home runs. So that's something that naturally Cole Henry and the other pitchers will have to be aware of.
Got to be careful with it. Bill Frank has the voice of Alec Box Stadium, kind enough to join us from Hoover, Alabama. Looks like the LSU pitching staff, though, last 5 games, they've been really, really good. A 2.68 ERA. They haven't given up many earned runs, and the team batting average against LSU is a paltry .207. So, golly, if you're going to peak, now's the time to peak, and it looks like they might be.
Yeah, I agree, Jordy. You know, the loss on Saturday to Auburn was certainly a disappointment. But other than that one swing of the bat, the home run that tied the game in the ninth inning, LSU pitched great the whole weekend against Auburn. I mean, 2 consecutive combined 2 hitters on Thursday and Friday. Something like that hadn't been done here in 30 years. It was back in 1989. That staff put together 2 consecutive combined 1 hitters, but this is 2 consecutive combined 2 hitters, and that it was truly just a fantastic pitching performance. And even on Saturday, the staff pitched very well. You know, LSU had to piece it together, and several guys combined to give LSU certainly a great chance to win in the ninth. Unfortunately, the Tigers fell short, and Auburn came through with that big game tying home run. But that game notwithstanding, I think the team has played very well. It has pitched very well. The offense has been okay, good enough. And the defense really has been very good. This lineup that Coach Maneri first engineered in Arkansas 2 weeks ago is probably LSU's best defensive lineup, with Chris Reed at first base, Hal Hughes at third base, and Brant Broussard at second base. Those guys are all exceptional defensive players. And LSU has been much better defensively, and the pitching's been fantastic. The offense probably needs to get it rolling again, but I think overall the team has been playing over the last 2 weeks the best baseball it's played all year.
2 wins, I think they get to host a regional. We'll see what happens there. Antoine Duplantis, the magic number is now 11 to become LSU's all-time hits leader, to surpass Eddie Furness. Well, I would love to see him get it here in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, well, that would be exciting, yeah. Hopefully we're here long enough for Antoine to get an opportunity to get 11 hits. That would be huge. It's amazing. He already is the SEC's all-time leader in at-bats. He has 1,068 at-bats, which is the all-time lead in the SEC. And then he's also, as you said, approaching the hits record at LSU. He is tied with Todd Walker for the most career triples at LSU. And Jordy, hopefully we'll play enough games for this to happen. He can also become the all-time leader at LSU in number of games played.
Okay.
Jason Williams played 266 games from 93 to 96 at LSU, and Antoine did 257 games. So hopefully we'll play at least 10 more games in our future, and Antoine can hold that record as well.
That would be awesome. Do we know who South Carolina is bringing to the mound tonight?
Yeah, right-hander, a kid by the name of Cam Tringale. I don't know a whole lot about him.
Okay.
South Carolina's pitching staff, just like their offense, their team ERA is last in the SEC. They have a team ERA of about 5.5. So, again, nothing really stands out about their pitching staff other than they have a closer, a freshman right-hander by the name of Brett Carey, who has some very impressive numbers. And he's a guy that could, if South Carolina were to be leading near the end of the game, he's a guy that they can count upon to save a game for them. But other than Carey, the closer, nothing really stands out about their starting pitching. And Cam Tringale is the right-hander we'll see tonight. And again, hopefully LSU can have some success.
Well, Bill, get some rest, get some coffee brewing, and get ready for a long, late night. But here's hoping that you get to stay another day in Hoover, because if you win this one, you get Mississippi State, and that's always a good one as well. So thank you for your time, buddy. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jordy. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Have a great call of the game. That's Bill Franquez, he and Chris Blair, right here on 103.7 The Game. He said 9-ish, 9:30-ish. Time will tell. All right, take a time out here. When we come back, the newest member of the LSU basketball team, Trendon Watford, picked LSU over Alabama and Memphis and Indiana and a whole bunch of others. We'll find out about the young man from his head coach, Bucky McMillan of Mountain Brook High School, next.
Play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, all LSU basketball fans. Are really, really excited. Will Wade brings in a five-star from the state of Alabama, two-time Mr. Alabama basketball, Trendon Watford from Mountain Brook High School in Birmingham. And he's coached by what many consider the best high school coach in the state and maybe the best basketball coach on any level in the state. And that's his coach who joins us now, Coach Bucky McMillan. Coach, thank you so much for your time, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be on the show.
Well, thank you for your time. We greatly appreciate it. I guess everybody wants to know. Let's take it in two levels. Let's talk about Trendon, the basketball player, first and foremost. Talk about his game and what LSU fans can expect from him from that aspect.
Well, I think LSU fans have a lot to look forward to. You know, I've coached Trendon in some way and have trained him since he was 5 and 6 years old.
Wow.
And what you have is you have somebody who has the ball skills of a point guard. I mean, he can handle the basketball as well as anybody. You're just not going to get it from him. And he's 6'9". He can shoot. That's going to be his area that he's shot about 40% from three this year. And, you know, we'd like to see that continue to progress. He's a great passer. He can guard a point guard, and he can guard a center if he has to. And he can go post up if he needs to. He can go play on the perimeter. He kind of just can do it all. I mean, I know it's a big name to throw out there, but kind of like Ben Simmons, and you can kind of put him all
but a
over
better,
the place.
Please tell me he's a better shooter, Bucky. Please.
He is better. He is better than that. He is. you know, he can do all of that. But the thing that I think that everyone is going to really enjoy. And I think his the team and his teammates are just going to be elated to have Trendon, is that he shares the ball.
Okay.
You know, and he can have a game where he can take five shots and score 12 points and dominate a game, or he can take 20 shots. You know, it doesn't matter. He just makes the right basketball play all the time, and he's going to play and make the best play for LSU. And that's what's unique about him. Our high school team here is a public school here in Birmingham, Alabama, and we rose to we're ranked number 5 in the country right now. And I'm going to tell you, we played against teams that had 5 and 6 5 stars on it, and we had 1 5 star. But our 5 star made our other players look like 5 stars because he knew how to get them the ball.
Yeah.
And made them look really good.
How did you be having all the skill sets that he has? You know, he could rebound it, bring it up the court himself, set up the offense. But how did you best utilize his talent?
You know, it just game to game. I mean, you know, we one thing that I always did, we played him from outside in.
Okay.
You know, we played him instead of from inside out, and we gave him the option when he wanted to post up. But the reason why we did that is because he's great when the ball is going through him. The reason why some people take advantage of that, the ball's always going through them, and all of a sudden they're squeezing off shots before not getting the ball to certain people. He's never once took advantage of that. They doubled him. He gave it up, found the shooter.
Yeah.
So that's what's great. Is he's a player you can play around every time down the floor because he's always going to make the right play, right pass, and do the best thing for team success.
We're talking with Bucky McMillan, the head coach at Mountain Brook High School. His five-star Trendon Watford signed with LSU yesterday over in-state Alabama, Memphis, Indiana. He had offers from all over, all the blue bloods across the country. So LSU very, very fortunate. So we heard about the player. Now tell me about the person.
Well, it's kind of the way I said that he plays basketball. It's not just about him. You know, you see a lot of these five-stars today, and it's just, you know, you see a lot of prima donnas, and you see guys that, you know, they can't be coached. You know, Trendon truly understands it's not all about him. The world does not revolve around him. And, you know, he had two great parents who taught him well in the home. And, you know, there was just times he would go and he'd read to second graders because he knew what he meant to them. He would go to the elementary school just to visit kids and did work with underprivileged kids. He did work with kids with disabilities. He's just that type of guy that, you know, is the type to play a game next year in Baton Rouge and, you know, see a kid on the front row, walk off the court and go shake his hand and say, I appreciate you coming out tonight. You know, he's aware of his surroundings and it's truly unique. And it's somebody that everyone rallies around. You know,
okay.
He's friends with a lot of the great players across the country. You know, I was fortunate enough to be around him at the McDonald's All-American game and the Jordan Brand Classic and, you know, all those guys love Trendon, you know. So he'll get the respect of the team and be a great leader for the team while he's over there.
When you spoke to him and he came to you for advice, Coach, you know, what? And of course, his parents, what was he looking for in a college, and why was it LSU?
LSU, when I talked to Trendon when this all started in eighth, ninth grade recruiting, I said, Trendon, your number one, you know, concern is going to be, do you trust the coach?
Okay.
And he had a great relationship with Bill Armstrong.
Yes.
Assistant coach Bill Armstrong over there at Birmingham. He did a great job recruiting Trendon. And he was on it for 4 years. He has a relationship with that family that goes back 20 years. And, you know, LSU, you know, has a great ball coach in Will Wade. And he got to know Will through the past couple of years and really liked Coach Will as well. But I really think that it was that Armstrong connection that kind of, you know, fueled what we have here today. And that's, I think, two parties that are both very content.
Bucky McMillan, the head coach of Mount Brook High School in Birmingham. I read a story, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. One of the lines said, since the ninth grade, Trendon has been called a traitor to his race in race-obsessed Birmingham for attending Mountain Brook High School. When you hear that, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing. What's funny, because it kind of comes all the way back to his college decision. Mountain Brook Trendon was zoned in an area that had more diversity than Mountain Brook High School. Mountain Brook High School the school is one of the top, you know, the zip code one of the top 20 wealthiest zip codes in the country. But it's got great teachers, great academics, number one public school in the state, and we had the best basketball program. And Trendon's father, you know, moved him to Mountain Brook. You know, seems obvious for a player who's a great basketball player and wanting to go play in college. Well, he obviously you get a lot of flack for that because everyone wants, you know, you to do it their way. Well, it's funny because it was a great decision for them, and Trendon flourished. And that's what's interesting about his college decision. You know, he's going to get a lot of flack and has for not going to University of Alabama or Auburn or UAB, et cetera. But, you know, this family felt the best decision for him was LSU. And one thing I can promise you is that when Trendon and the Watfords, they were at Mountain Brook High School, they don't look back. So when I tell you that when Trendon comes here in June, it's full speed ahead LSU. And that's one thing that's unique about that family is that, you know, when they're in, they're all in.
It just seems like that lesson that he had to go through, that experience has maybe matured him at a quicker rate than most of his peers.
Yep, I would agree with that. And he does a great job of blocking things out. He just doesn't let the small things get to him. He's above that. You know, that's just how he's always been. You know, and, you know, whether it's that situation, which is a greater situation, or just playing in a basketball game on the road, and he just kind of laughs at it, you know, kind of laughs at that type of stuff, and just he's right on marching.
This tells me, above anything else, and being a former LSU basketball player and still very close to the program, for LSU to be able to garner this type of a talent that everybody in the world wanted, he had to get some assurances from LSU that coaching staff was going to be intact and that everything was going to be fine. So that's another sigh of relief around this community.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question that there was lots of conversations all the way up the chain by the Watford family with the LSU administration getting the assurances they needed. And I can say with 100% confidence, if they didn't feel Will Wade was going to be the coach at LSU, they would not have gone to LSU.
No question. No question. Bucky McMillan, the head coach, man, talk about your, I mean, you're regarded as the best high school basketball coach in the state, and maybe many think you're, on any level, you're the best basketball coach out there. Your background, what led you there, and what are your future goals?
Well, I played for a great college coach, Dwayne Rebaugh, played at Birmingham Southern.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. Stop right there, Bucky.
You know the man, don't you?
He coached me in high school.
Did he really? Okay.
He coached me in high school. Yes.
Well, then you know. He's the best.
I know. He's the best.
De La Salle or
De La Salle High School. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting. So I got to play for him at Birmingham Southern. You know, they were D1 back then, and he won two NAIA national championships, moved him to D1, won our tied for conference the first year before we were eligible, and then the president changed the program my last year and dropped the program from D1 to D3. But he was, as you know, he was phenomenal. So a lot
greatest.
Of the stuff I learned about basketball came from that man right there.
Yeah, I drove him crazy, Bucky. I never saw a shot I didn't love, and I just drove him crazy.
Oh, man.
Small world. Well, look,
crazy.
Yeah, well, I can't believe I had no idea, but that's the 6 degrees of separation are just amazing to me. I know what kind of coach you are now, so there's no doubt. I think LSU's got themselves a heck of a player that knows the fundamentals of the game. And there aren't many you can say that know that. They just basically kind of play on their own skill level, and they just go. But I know that man knows how to get into a stance and play some defense. I know he knows how to pivot. I know he knows the fundamentals, and that makes me feel even better. So thank you for your time, man. We got to talk later on, okay?
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
You got it, Bucky. Thank you very much. Bucky McMillan, the head coach. Wow, had no idea. Got coached by the same guy. Yeah, he Trendon Watford's going to be a good one. He seems like he has all the necessary ingredients that you need. The 5-star, and I'm not crying that LSU finally got somebody to beat Alabama. Nick Saban comes and poaches our guys all the time. Alabama, you going to get upset about that? Shame on you. Shame on you. Trenton Watford, the plum of Will Wade's recruiting class that's not done yet. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helpert Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
And we welcome you back at 49 minutes after the hour. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, CD, back in the 237 roof studios, making sure everything running smoothly. Saw what happened out there in the NFL, and I'm curious as to the thoughts on this as the Tampa Bay Bucks released defensive tackle Gerald McCoy after 9 seasons in Tampa. He's 31 years old. He had 3 years remaining on his contract with the Bucks, was owed $13 million in 2019 prior to his release. McCoy's release leaves no dead money against Tampa Bay's cap, and now they tried to trade him, and the $13 million was just nobody was interested. Now that he's a free agent, man, if you're the New Orleans Saints, don't you take a look-see? Now, he trains in the offseason with Drew Brees, so there's a great friendship and relationship there. I just, man, I look at the Saints and their roster, their makeup, and I'm like, man, you can't get enough of these kind of guys if it's possible to pick up a guy like that. Because, I mean, Sheldon Rankins is going to be out for a little while probably, and If McCoy's willing to take a 1-year deal, man, that would work in, you know, $5 million, $6 million. That would be great. I thought about Chris Long for the Eagles, but he retired on Saturday. So they're going to have to find another, you know, because, look, Rankins is recovering from that torn Achilles, and he may not be ready for an every-down role in September. So you might have to find somebody who can do just that at a high level. And it just seems to me that Gerald McCoy is the perfect fit. Perfect fit. So Tampa Bay is now about to sign a 1-year deal with Ndamukong Suh. So wouldn't it be great for the Saints to pick up a rival from Tampa Bay and put him in the lineup? You know, Cam Jordan's done his things. Everybody's anticipating the drastic improvement of Marcus Davenport, who was slowed by that toe injury in his rookie season. Alex Okafor, last year's starter, left for the Chiefs. So you've got Trey Hendrickson, who's played just 17 games over his first 2 seasons and recorded 2 sacks as the primary backup at defensive end. And you've got to find some more depth on the interior. And I would just think that, man, go shoot a flyer out there and let's get Gerald McCoy in the fray. Cause you gotta have some people up the middle to just, you know, gobble up runners so your linebackers can make plays. Gobble up those blockers and your linebackers can make plays. So I'm all in on Gerald McCoy if the price is right. And Gerald McCoy has had a long time, hasn't had much success, not extended success in Tampa Bay. You know, they'll have a year here where they're pretty good, and then they fall off the face of the earth. He could come and man a position of need for the Saints, and let's get to the Super Bowl, right? I'm all for it. I am all for it. Rookies and newcomers have ruled the Saints practice facility, but now the OTAs are getting ready to start this week, And that's an opportunity to see what you got. And for this team to get close and to start bonding and doing all the things that you need to do to be successful. Drew Brees spoke in Baton Rouge. And for a bunch of talented high school people, high school athletes. And he's talking about, look, I just take it as though this is my last season. You know, he said, I think I can play till I'm 45. Well, he's 40, turning 41. So, but he doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as, you know, I just want to win a championship. So he's all in for this. I do believe if the Saints were to win a Super Bowl this year, that Drew Brees would retire. I am of the belief of that. Why else would you? He's got enough money. He doesn't need the money. And he would go out on top. And then in 5 years, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. So we'll see. But I'm all in on Gerald McCoy. Sign him up. Let's make the push. Do what it takes to make it happen. Give yourself every opportunity. Get the best players you can. A veteran like that, a leader like that, who is starving for a title, for a chance to play for a ring that would cap his career. You get him in here at a reasonable price, and you turn him loose. I think it's a perfect fit. Cleveland is a team that's been mentioned, but come on. They're not that close yet. They're going to go through some obvious growing pains. They make it to the playoffs, but you know it doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that quickly. So it just seems to me that this is the perfect launching spot for him. I'm hoping. I'm all in on it. I'll take him right now and put him in that lineup and let him gobble up those blockers and let your linebackers and make plays. That defense made such a drastic improvement a year ago, and they've got some new people in the lineup to replace people that went elsewhere. But you can't get enough, and not with the pedigree of the former Oklahoma Sooner, who apparently Bruce Arians feels like his production has waned and he's not as disruptive as he used to be. And that was kind of the sign that McCoy was out. And he doesn't deserve. His talent, his production does not warrant $13 million a year. But it does warrant $5 million, $6 million a year. So let's go. Let's lock him up. Let's go make a run at him at least, and let's see. And Drew Brees, start recruiting because y'all are best buddies. Start recruiting. All right. SEC baseball tournament again. A&M beat Florida 8-7 in 10 innings in game number one. Game number two is currently top of the fifth. Missouri shutting out Ole Miss 1-0. There are two outs. Runner at first and second for Missouri in the top of the fifth. So we'll update you on that. What a good guy Bucky McMillan is. And he raves about Trendon Watford and what LSU's getting. I'm excited. Will Wade's not done yet. Not done yet. Stay tuned. All right, hour number two, Hot Topics. Todd Walker, Will Guillory talking Trajan Langdon and the Pelicans. Stick around. We'll be right back.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle!
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go on this Tuesday, the 21st day of May. The SEC baseball tournament underway. Texas A&M gets a walk-off 8-7 victory to stay alive in the SEC tournament, putting the Aggies in a strong position to host as of today, while a loss makes things really, really dicey for the Florida Gators to make the field of 64. Right now, bottom of the fifth, Missouri 1, Ole Miss zip, a leadoff double by Ole Miss to get things going in the fifth inning. We'll see what they can rally. Of course, LSU taking on South Carolina in game 4 of 4 tonight. One more little tidbit here. Apparently they like him because Mississippi State is going to sign a new 4-year contract extension with head coach Joe Moorhead through the 2022 season. His average salary will be $3.2 million per year. All right, with that in mind, that's not what's hot. What's hot's what's coming up next, because we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's hot topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, in the 237 Root Studios, my main man CD joins us. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Jordy. My goodness, I am absolutely enjoying this Tuesday. It is SEC tournament time, one of my favorite times of year to be a fan of the world of college baseball. My goodness, it's always fun.
It is. That's, you know, players interact with the fans. They're in the concession stands buying some snacks between games, and it's a first-class operation. You need to go there one year and watch it. It's pretty fun.
Well, I think that needs to be one year. We do a show live.
Let's do it.
From the SEC tournament. That's one day a thing. But, of course, the biggest story coming out of today is got to be, without a doubt, the Golden State Warriors, the fifth straight year they've made the NBA Finals. And a lot of the big takes around the world of sports is the Warriors don't need KD. KD needs them. And based on what I've seen, I definitely can subscribe to that newsletter. It feels like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they feel like the triumvirate that the big three wishes they could be.
There's a lot of thoughts on this thing. Look, KD is a great, great player. There's no denying that. And I believe that Golden State got Kevin Durant so they could beat LeBron James. I don't think they were afraid of anyone else or worried about anyone else other than James. And now that he's out in L.A. and not in the playoffs, you can see. Now, we'll see what happens. I still think they would love to have Kevin Durant when they take on, in all likelihood, the Milwaukee Bucks because of the length, the size, and all those things that Milwaukee brings defensively. It's nice to be able to, when in doubt, throw it to the guy and go get me 35. Enjoy KD while you can, because we'll see what he's going to do in the offseason.
Exactly, Jordy. He could wind up pretty much anywhere, it feels like.
Yeah.
Mind you, I think the place that everybody's going to think he's going to go to is the New York Knicks, without a doubt. I think that's the place where everybody's thinking he's going to go. That'd be the first kind of thing to break off of the Golden State Warriors dynasty, but it still feels like they could do without him based on what we've seen against a team like the Portland Trailblazers. But, you know, we're talking about the Warriors. What about Steph Curry? I wound up catching a highlight video last night. His off-the-ball movement, Jordy, it's impressive. We talk about it all the time, how like it's a lot of flash over substance sometimes. It's great to see a guy like Curry be old school and have that focus on the fundamentals.
He is – I'm going back in time now because John Havlicek, an all-time NBA legend, when he played for the Boston Celtics – did a similar thing. He was nonstop, perpetual motion without the basketball. And he would move and keep cutting and moving. And that's what Steph Curry does. Now, he certainly didn't have the ball handling abilities of Steph Curry. He didn't have the range of a Steph Curry. You put that all together, and Steph Curry averaging without Kevin Durant 35.8 points per game. Have you forgotten me, he said. You know, I was a two-time MVP of this league, and I'm pretty good. Don't forget about me, and we certainly haven't. He has been, it's the best playoff series I've ever seen him have. He was spectacular.
And it's always just cool to see him do what he does. It's impressive, to say the least. But looking at the other side of things, Damian Lillard, he's expected to sign that Supermax deal. And we look at the Trailblazers and their futures. Can they Can they make it out with him having that big four-year deal and go without kind of signing a bigger medium name guy to that roster to try and make a contention and try and make another run?
That's a great question. I don't think, you know, I think he needs to, I don't fault a player for going, for getting what he can get. But man, that Portland's not going to win any title with the roster that they've got comprised right here, right now. So to answer your question, they need to figure out how they can be, you know, a little less on him so you can get another sidekick, preferably a scoring wing. Because McCollum is really good. Lillard's good. They just need another scoring wing to go along with it. And they would be okay. But I just don't see what they've got right now being a team that threatens in the NBA championship rung.
And I have to agree with you, Jordy, because it feels like to me the only other team that can wind up stopping the Warriors, at least as it pertains to this year, has to be the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that just feels like they've got everything going for them. Obviously, you got Mirotić in there. You got a lot of great players up and down that roster. It feels like that team is probably the one that could dethrone the champs.
They've got length. They're really, really good defensively because they can switch on everything. And remember, Steph Curry's about 6'3". They'll be guarding him with Middleton or somebody else who's a big, tall cover. It's tough for Steph when he plays against size like that. But look, I'm still going with the Warriors. They're just playing too good.
Yeah,
and Draymond Green is the MVP. As great as Steph Curry's been, give me five Draymond Greens and I win a championship. I really did.
I like that. I like that take, Jordy. I like it a lot. Then, of course, you know, we talked about the SEC tournament to start things off. Might as well get back to that. When it comes to LSU, Jordy, obviously Cole Henry going to be on the mound tonight for LSU. And if LSU were to win tonight and move on to the next round, who do you think winds up taking the bump on Wednesday? Would it be an Eric Walker, or could you go more of a Jack Johnny Holstaff in this one as well?
Well, when Palmieri joined us yesterday, I presented that question, and he said, no, it would be Eric Walker. It would be one day less of rest since he picks last Thursday, but he feels comfortable with that. And then if they were fortunate enough to win that one, then they would go with Landon Marceau on Thursday. So it looks right now that Walker, if LSU is able to survive in advance, Walker will be on the hill against Mississippi State. But that's always subject to change. Yep. But as of right here, right now, that's what the plan is.
Last one, Jordy, and we got to talk about it. You mentioned it earlier, the Bucks signing Sue is definitely an interesting one, to say the least, after getting rid of a guy like Gerald McCoy that's been there for a long, long time. It feels like the Bucks just aren't even trying at this point to be relevant. Getting a guy like Sue, that I feel like he's got a lot of talents, but he's definitely a head case.
And no question about that. Are you with me? Are you all in getting the Saints and Gerald McCoy?
Oh, of course.
McCoy?
You know, if you can get a Gerald McCoy on a one-year deal, you can wind up probably getting one heck of a player, and you can work around that. I think it'd be awesome to have him aboard the program.
I'm glad we think alike. I'm with you 1,000%.
Anything to help the cause.
Yes, indeed. Let's go get them. Well, let's all in. 10 years since the last Super Bowl. Let's make that decade end the right way.
Yep.
And maybe send Drew Brees off into the sunset after a Super Bowl win. All right, CD, thank you very much. Ole Miss has now scored 2 runs in the bottom of the 5th. They've got runners on 1st and 2nd. With 1 out, they lead Missouri 2-1 in the single elimination first round of the SEC tournament. All right, Hot Topics, as always, brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biard family for nearly 90 years. Finest spices, finest peppers, the best. Bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. You'll be doing yourself a flavor. Cajun Chef. We'll take a timeout. We'll go back to Hoover. Todd Walker, the former LSU All-American, will talk about the SEC tournament next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, we welcome you back. The SEC baseball tournament underway, and if game one is any indication of what's to come, it could be a long, long night, as Texas A&M had a walk-off base hit in the bottom of the 10th by Jonathan Dekoff to beat Florida 8-7. So extra innings might be a late night for our next guest, the former All-American, still my favorite baseball player to watch in LSU baseball history, now doing work with the SEC Network, Mr. Todd Walker, kind enough to join us. Todd, you better Diet Coke it up or something, man. It's going to be a late night, it seems like.
Hey, Jordy, how are you, man? Yeah, coffee, man. I'll be crushing the coffee.
I'm doing great. It's awfully difficult for game teams on that play on a Tuesday to win this thing. There's only so much pitching you have, right? Do you give credence to that? Is that your belief as well?
No question. I mean, it's possible to play six games in 1 week, so you've got to have the pitching depth. And like you just mentioned, if you're a top four seed and you got to buy today and play tomorrow, that's a huge advantage. A lot of guys are throwing their aces today, so you know when they have to play those teams with a bye, they got to throw their number two. So it is definitely a disadvantage.
You'll be doing the nightcap games this evening. That means Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU, South Carolina. It's a single elimination at this point in time. So winner stays, loser goes home. Tell me what you know about South Carolina this year. It seems like it's either feast or famine. Either they hit a home run or they don't score at all.
Yeah, they lost three 300 hitters from last year. Two guys on the mound that had 16 starts apiece for them. They do hit the home run, but that's really about it. You know, it's going to be tough for them to do any good, but, of course, it is baseball. Anything can happen. So, but, yeah, you're right. They lead the SEC in home runs, but other than that, they're dead last in batting average, dead last in ERA. I mean, they're just not very good this year.
That's very good. Todd Walker, kind enough to join us from the Hoover Met in Hoover, Alabama. LSU, of course, in South Carolina tonight. It's originally set for 8 p.m., but with baseball, who knows? From your perspective, and taking off your allegiance to LSU, kind of what is your take on this team that Palmieri's put on the field this year?
Well, interestingly enough, if you talked to them at the beginning of the year, they would have told you this is the most pitching depth that they've had,
yes,
you know, since Maneri's been there. The talent and, you know, with the three young freshmen coming in and everything before the season started. Since then, nine injuries to the pitching staff at one time or another. We lost Jaden Hill after 10 innings pitched. You know, and thrown since. When you lose your ace like they have in Cole Henry the last couple weeks, it just makes it extremely difficult. And so, you know, they've just been injured on the mound. I think the offense is adequate enough. Of course, everybody knows the troubles they have throwing guys out and holding runners. That's another issue as well. But overall, for the most part, they can still win. You know, in the SEC tournament, they've got 12 wins in the history of the tournament. The next closest is Mississippi State and Alabama with 7.
Yes.
So when they show up in here in Hoover and in the SEC tournament, so we'll see.
So with all the injuries factored in, has this team – is it fair to say that they've underachieved, or is it fair to say that they've maybe overachieved considering the injuries that have come to play?
I think they've underachieved based on the preseason expectations,
okay,
and they've overachieved based on the injuries, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of a two-way deal. I don't know if there's any blame to be put on the injuries. It just happens. And one of the aspects of winning a national championship is not only to have everybody healthy, but to have people do things that you don't expect them to do. So those two ingredients, you know, remain to be seen with LSU, whether or not they can get everybody healthy at this point in the season. But I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. And Mikhail Hilliard's an interesting one, too. Keep in mind, last year, he had the second most starts to Zach Hess last year and led the weekend starters in ERA. He was 5-0 last year at one point with a 0.79 ERA. I just don't think he's reacted to the role he's been put in this year. And so now they're left, you know, hoping that some of these freshmen like Landon Marceau and Cole Henry can get the job done.
Zach Hess was, come hell or high water, going to be the Friday night starter for the course of the season. But, I mean, he's better suited for where he is, isn't he? I mean, that's where he's going to make his money down the road.
Depends on who you talk to, but there's no question if you say this kid is one of the best in the country at whatever it is, then that's where they ought to be. And in Zach Hess's case, when he's on and rolling, he's one of the best closers in the country. So I don't think there's any doubt he's where he needs to be. I just think they need to get guys up front, like I just said, the freshmen, to eat up innings and get to that bullpen that has Peterson and Hess and Beck and, you know, Fontenot, all these guys that really have some serious talent.
Or if not, just have a bunch of Todd Walkers and just get a lot of runs, and that doesn't matter.
It's in gorilla ball anymore, Jordy. They got to really actually be able to do all facets of the game, man. We'd outslug some people. We did have some guys on the mound, but I think they're adequate enough on the mound. I mean, all the way around. But again, you got to have some special magic here at the end, and that remains to be seen. That's hard to predict.
Yeah, that is very hard to break. Todd Walker, kind enough to join us, member of the SEC Network, televising all the games. You can hear the LSU game right here on 103.7 The Game. So turn down the sound of the TV, turn up the sound of the radio. Every now and then, and we can listen to Todd. Do them both. Do them both. But let me ask you this. Is there a national championship type of team that you see in the league this year?
Vanderbilt is certainly one that has a chance. I think they'll be there at the end, top four, and possibly win it. Georgia's got an outside chance. It depends on how their offense comes along. They're not really great at times swinging the bat, but they can flat out pitch and they can play defense. Arkansas is a unique case. Their numbers are similar to last year. They did lose Blaine Knight, who didn't lose a game last year, and they got Isaiah Campbell, but they're pretty good. I think those three have a real shot. I think you're going to see a Pac-12 team in there in the finals, whether it's Stanford or UCLA. Already stayed within it last year, but I think there's two better teams than them in the Pac-12 this year.
Interesting. Todd Walker joining. You know, we have a new all-time hits leader, came from Mississippi State, but you ever wonder, like, I mean, I know you did the right thing when you left, but if you had stayed for all your time, you're the only guy that ever put up 100 hits a season for three straight seasons. You'd have blown that record so far out of the water, nobody would have touched it.
Well,
think about it.
That's part of it, you know, having the decision to stay. So, I mean, I just chose to go, and now there's times when I think I wish I would have stayed for a fourth year, but it is what it
really?
Is.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah, I love my time at LSU. How could you not, you know?
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, we would have loved for you to stay one more year. That would have been – that would have been fun. You look at Antoine DePlantis. He's one of the closest things that LSU has to you. Bats left-handed, gets a lot of hits. What's your impression of Antoine and his process at the plate?
Well, the key ingredients to being a great hitter is to hit the ball the other way, keep your strikeouts down, and he does both, keeps his eyes still, you know, and there's an anticipation factor when you're hitting too of what pitch is coming. It's called an educated guess, and being able to sell out to a certain pitch. And he's very good at that as well.
An educated guess. I love that. I love that. All right. Well, let's see. When you're not doing, people want to know, when you're not doing these broadcasts, what takes up Todd Walker's time during his life?
Well, in the off season, just raising kids, man, and you know, I fly. You know, I'm a pilot, so I fly airplanes around. And
really,
you know, take kids to soccer games and certain other things like that.
Did you fly your own plane to Hoover?
Yes, so I'm here in Hoover for the week. Yeah, it's much better than going Shreveport, Dallas, Birmingham.
Todd Walker, you're my hero. You are my hero. Who was a better athlete, though, you or your sister, the cheerleader?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Yeah, she cheered at LSU for 4 years. I just say I can't do the flips that she does, so I don't know how you define athlete, but, you know, it'd take me a long time to learn to do some of the things those cheerleaders do.
Yeah, I'm going to go with her just for giggles and grins. But any young walkers that swing the stick, or you got them playing all kind of sports?
Yeah, they are playing all kind of sports. My son plays soccer and baseball. He's a sophomore at Bird High School up in Shreveport. He's got some talent, man. He does what we just talked about with DePlantis. Hits the ball the other way, keeps his strikeouts down. Okay. You know, and the power will come, you know, like DePlantis. You know, I don't think he tries to hit home runs. He just squares the ball up and gets a little launch angle going. And, you know, that's how you do it. And so I think my son's got a little bit of that, but he needs to start working, man. You know how that goes. These guys, they don't want to get in the cage, man.
You got to get off those cell phones. Yeah, you got to get off that. You got to stop playing that Fortnite and go swing the bat and do that kind of stuff. How many games does LSU do you think need to win in this tournament to get a regional bid? a regional hosting bid?
Yeah, I think today. I think if they win today, they get the host.
Okay.
Because now you're in the double elimination portion of the tournament. And any coach you talk to out here, when you ask, like, what's the most important thing this week? And they'll tell you, win game one. You know,
win
especially those
one.
Today that, you know, because you lose today, you're out.
Yes.
And so Florida, that's going to be the interesting case. They got beat. They've got 13 conference wins. Their strength of schedule is really good at three. But they're the 11th best team in the SEC. And last year we sent 10 of the 14 SEC schools to the postseason. That was a record. So now if you're considering Florida to be in, then you got 11. And that would be strong, man. I mean, think about the at-large. You got 33 at-large bids, 31 automatic. So 64 teams in the tournament. Out of the 33 at-large bids, you're saying that a third of them are going to come from one conference. So it'll be tough. That human element involved in the committee, you know, that actually handpicks these regional hosts and who's in the tournament, it would be tough, I think, for them to say a third of one conference would be make up our choices to get in the postseason. But you could make a real strong argument for Florida, so we'll have to see.
All right. Todd Walker, get the coffee going, big guy. It's going to be a late night, but we look forward to listening to you during the LSU-South Carolina game sometime later on this evening, buddy. Thanks so much for the time. Always fun talking with you.
All right, you too, buddy. Thanks a lot.
All right, you take care. Todd Walker, SEC Network, former All-American at LSU, the greatest baseball-hitting LSU Tiger these eyes have ever seen. And he always came up to bat with runners in scoring position. And I know he fails every now and then, but, man, it just never seemed like it. He always put the bat on the ball and drove it. Spectacular player. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Well, welcome back. Another day and more news for the New Orleans Pelicans. We've got a GM in place, Trajan Langdon, the former Dukie. Will Giller of The Athletic was listening to the teleconference call, question and answer situation, and Will's kind enough to join us now. Will, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Good. It seems like for the first time in a long, long time that there is a plan in place with the New Orleans Pelicans, and that's a great thing. Are you in agreement now?
I would agree. I mean, I think everything that David Griffin has kind of laid out since he took the job, what he plans on doing, has kind of come to fruition. And obviously, Landon Zion Williamson was a part of that plan, but that certainly helps. But I think, you know, the biggest thing for him was it was never about the guys on the roster. It was about putting the infrastructure around the franchise. And I think you saw with the addition of Aaron Nelson, you saw with the way Gail Benson is investing in the practice facility, and now the addition of Trajan Langdon, you see them trying to build the base for this franchise. So now it's not about them competing next year. It's about them, you know, competing long term, and they're putting the people in place and the pieces in place to make sure that can happen.
Well, when they talk about improving the facilities, that's kind of the medical area, the training facility area where players go to get taped up, get ice and whatever, that type of thing. Is that where most of the money is going toward?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that is also the training area where they're, you know, lifting weights, where they're, you know, stretching out guys. And Aaron Nelson is a guy that's really hands-on. He wants to be, you know, a part of practice. He wants to be around the guys constantly. And I think that, you know, David Griffin has said before that that's what really his specialty is. He really gets a relationship with his guys. He's around all around, and he knows everything about them. And that's how he makes sure he can put that guys in the best position just to show everything they've got. And I think, you know, in the past we've talked so much about this franchise with the injuries, and, you know, it's always something going on with them behind the scenes of who's hurt, who's not hurt, how long are they going to be out. And I think bringing in Aaron Nelson and giving him everything he's asking for is going to go a long way in trying to solve that problem.
Yeah, the best ability is availability. There's no question. Will Giller of The Athletic. Trajan Langdon was one of those that interviewed for the job that David Griffin got. Now, those two have a history together from back in the day at Cleveland for a little while, but it seemed like Trajan was in a pretty good place with the Brooklyn Nets. What was his reason for leaving a playoff team to come to New Orleans?
Yeah, I think him and David Griffin talked today about them just really believing that they can do something that people don't believe they can pull off here in New Orleans, and that, you know, people thought that this franchise is so down, like you said before, about you know, how backers were, things were behind back in the days, and how much it seemed like they liked real direction, and now he feels like him and David Griffin together can really change things with this franchise. And I think, you know, a big thing with what Trajan Langdon did and those other guys out there in Brooklyn is that they built the franchise knowing that they weren't going to have first-round picks year in and year out after that the Boston trade,
right,
where they gave up so many first-round picks. And then they had to kind of build it up from scratch. And you saw them bringing in guys like Joe Harris, like Caris LeVert, so many of these guys, Jared Allen at the end of the draft in the second round, undrafted guys, where it's not the big name guys like Zion Williamson. That's a great place to build your, start your rebuild. But I think what they want to really emphasize now is that they're going to bring in guys that we've never heard of, guys, you know, second round, late in the draft. They're really going to develop slowly through the G League team that they're starting up next year. Yeah. And they really want to have a place where they can really develop young guys here and build the franchise that way, instead of, you know, the way we've seen in the past with trading first-round picks, giving guys big deals and hoping things work out that way.
Of course, Sean Marks is a former NBA player in New Orleans. Now he's running the show in Brooklyn. So, of course, with Trajan Langdon coming to New Orleans now, all the questions are, okay, is this mean that Brooklyn's in play for a possible trade partner for Anthony Davis? What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Brooklyn always had an intriguing, you know, offer in this thing, just because I think they, just like I said before, they've done such a great job developing all of their young guys, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they have such a great foundation out there. But me, I'm still of the belief that I'll be shocked if it's not one of the Celtics, Knicks, Lakers trio. I think those are the three teams really competing for them. I think those are the teams with the best assets to offer. It's just a matter of what David Griffin and his team is looking for and what those teams are willing to give up to come after him. And I think my favorite is still just going to be Boston, just because of that Tatum Brown. Whenever Danny Ainge decides to play that piece, I think that trumps everybody. Mm-hmm. But I would bet it's one of those three teams.
I'm sure that David Griffin's going to go to Anthony Davis, and apparently they're going to meet later on this month and say, look, you can be the David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Zion can be the other. And look what the Spurs did with that tandem of bigs in the front court. Is that an approach you take? What do you think the message will be to Anthony Davis when they do meet?
Yeah, I think the big thing is just that, you know, the team that you requested out on in February is a completely different team now, with David Griffin in charge, with Gail Benson investing the way she has lately. I think Anthony, we've heard a million different reasons why Anthony wants to leave, but I think what was consistent is just his not really trusting what was going on at the top, with, you know, the decisions that were being made in the front office, with Mickey Loomis's involvement and the questions about football versus basketball, and if Gail Benson was really willing to invest the way she needed to. And I think they've done everything possible to kind of answer those questions. And then just to top it off, you bring in a guy like Zion Williamson, who can be the guy under AD, where we've always looked at AD as this great player. But just like you said, maybe next to Zion, he can be that guy that's great and also mentors this young guy and helps him reach his potential. And I think that would have people looking at AD in a completely different light, especially coming off of last season, where, you know, there was so much going on off the court with the Rich Paul and the leaks and the That's All Folks t-shirt, and it changed his image so much. And I think being next to a guy like Zion, that might be the type of, you know, image, you know, repair that he needs at this point.
Look, Will Giller, The Athletic, you know, I always say that image can be changed as soon as he puts up that first 40-point, 18-rebound, 5-block shot night, right? And then that's all down the commode, right?
Absolutely. I say this all the time, that Anthony Davis is really good at basketball. You know, once that guy actually gets on the court and plays more than 20 minutes, I think people are going to remember, like, wow, he's really good at, he can hit those jumpers. He catches alley-oops. He swats everything that comes to the paint. Like, he's one of the best guys in the world. And if he's, like, mentally locked in on what's a roster that he believes he can win with, man, he's going to be dangerous wherever he is. And if you put him next to Zion Williamson, wow, I hate to see anybody trying to stop those lives.
Yeah. Well, you got a great two guard. in Drew Holiday. All right, you're going to have this once in a generation. Zion Williamson's unlike any player I've ever seen, and he seems to be a very humble, team first kind of a player. What else does Anthony Davis need? What else do you think he wants? Is it a really much better point guard? I think they need more shooters on the wings, right?
Yeah, I think that's the big question we've been asking since the day he requested the trade. Is what does Anthony really want? You know, we don't really know what his mindset is or what he's really looking for or what's the next step he plans on taking. And I think, you know, obviously the main thing we've always heard is Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. But I think right now, you know, obviously there's a lot going on in L.A., so who knows how he feels about L.A. at this point. But I think it's just a matter of, is he at the point in his career where he wants to compete for a championship next year? He's just ready to take that step, or is he willing to be a little patient with what's going on here in New Orleans because he sees they're doing it the right way and they're going to build this thing brick by brick. And maybe a year from now, this franchise looks completely different with a commitment from AD along with Zion Williamson and Drew Holiday. If he's willing to wait that out, maybe he'll be much happier with what he got than if he is to leave and try the super team thing in L.A. or in New York.
Yeah, I can't believe there's a correlation with the fact that Trajan Langdon was a Dukie and Zion Williamson is a Dukie. I can't believe that that had anything to do with anything. But were you impressed with Trajan Langdon in the brief conversation that you had?
Yeah, I think the main thing I took away was just it seemed like him and David Griffin were really on the same page. And I think that's the main thing they wanted to get out there. And the big thing with Trajan Langdon is, like I said before, his ability to develop these young guys. And that's just something this franchise has failed at so much throughout the years. We've seen so many of the guys, fans tell me all the time, man, remember when we had Seth Curry or we had Quinn Cook, these guys that are showing out in the playoffs right now. And this franchise's refusal to really be patient with those young guys and allow them to develop in the G League, maybe give them a few spot minutes with the NBA team. And I think that's something that this franchise is going to prioritize more and more now, especially if you bring in additional picks from the AD trade. Is something that they're going to have to change a lot, and I think Trajan Langdon is the right type of person to bring in to begin that process.
Will Giller, the Athletic, Trajan Langdon, the new right-hand man of David Griffin. They've got their trainer in place. Now they're going to go talk with Anthony Davis and see if he's all in or if he's all out. There is no middle ground, according to David Griffin. I keep thinking of that other team in L.A., the Clippers, very quietly with Doc Rivers and the wealthiest owner in the league. I got to believe they're going to be a player in this thing because I think they would love to get Anthony Davis and just look at the Lakers as they share that building and just peacock all the way home day in and day out. I got to believe the Clippers are going to be a player in this thing.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the Clippers are going to be one of the most dangerous teams going into the offseason just because what we talked about before, the culture they built with their front office, and we see so many teams going after their front office guys, including the Pelicans. They went after one of the Clippers front office guys And I think they've done such a great job building that roster and surviving trading away Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Think about that. Back-to-back years, they trade away the two best players on the team. They lose DeAndre Jordan in free agency, and they're right back where they left off and could be in a much better position if they make some big moves this offseason. And that's just a testament to what they've built out there, and I think guys notice that. And so much, you know, we talk about the markets and guys want to play in L.A. or they want to play where the big lights are. And I think more and more these NBA guys pay attention to what's going on in the front office, how teams handle their draft picks, how they handle their salary cap. And they notice that, and I think that everybody knows how important that is to team building, and teams like the Clippers that are doing it the right way, I think we're going to see them landing these big names more often than guys really realize.
All right, so you like Boston first and foremost. Have you increased in any way, shape, or form the odds of David Griffin selling the Pelicans to Anthony Davis and he comes back and plays again in the Deep South?
Man, I'm still leaning toward AD leaving just because I think in his mind he's just ready to go. I just think he's at the point. I don't think anybody convinced him otherwise. But I do think adding Zion, it has to make him think twice. And I think we've seen him spending time with his Pelicans teammates, you know, working out this summer. And I guarantee you they're in his ear about, like you said, Drew Holiday, wouldn't it be nice to throw some lobs to you and Zion? Are you two in the fast break, one on the wing? I mean, I'm sure they're in his ear about it, but I think I would still bet on him leaving. But I think David Griffin has made a real strong argument with everything he's doing so far, and he's done all he can, and I think he can be happy with that at the end of the result.
Here's my pitch. AD, I'm going to let Zion screen for you, and let's see if anybody can get around that girth, and you'll be wide open. Right? I mean, come on.
What did Sean Payton say? He's a DN. Now, everybody
yes.
Was saying tight end. Sean Payton was like, he's more DN. Let him come off of that edge. He'll be terrifying to Matt Ryan. I know that much.
Will Guillory of The Athletic. We'll be in touch, man. But thanks for the update. Trajan Landing, the new GM, right-hand man of David Griffin. Everything's coming up good right now. But as we always say, they don't put the ball in the basket for 1 second. On the court. You got to go get players, and that's their job, and we'll see what they can do. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely, man. I'll talk to you later.
You got it, brother. Will Guillory, The Athletic, dealing with the Pelicans. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with much more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. We're on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
This Friday, Bumper to Bumper Sports will be live from Minute Maid Park. Listen in on 103.7 The Game from 4 to 6:30, leading right into an ALCS rematch between the Astros and the Boston Red Sox. Richard Justice, MLB.com, and Reed Ryan, president of baseball operations for the Stros, will join live. It's B2BS this Friday from the home of the Astros on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. This special broadcast is brought to you by Ardco Equipment.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Hi, we welcome you back. Finishing touches of this Tuesday edition. We've got a game four in the Eastern Conference Finals coming up tonight as Toronto got back in the series, holding serve on their home court. Milwaukee leads the series 2-1. And the big talk is all about Milwaukee trying to figure out a way to defend Kawhi Leonard. First, guy that has to guard him is Chris Middleton. And here's his thoughts on Kawhi.
He's going to have the ball in his hands the whole possession, most of the possessions. He's going to force his way to the paint. He's going to force his way to his spots. He's going to shoot contested shots with one, two, sometimes three or four guys on him. He's going to hit some. He's going to miss some. So I keep saying this over and over. I mean, he's a great player. You can't stop great players. You can only make it tough on them.
That's a good point. Now, what does the head coach, Mike Budenholzer, have to say about guarding Kawhi?
I don't know if we can go any harder at Kawhi than we are. So, you know, it's the fourth game. I think the adjustments, there's always things that we can do better, and it may be an adjustment. It's probably just doing what we've been doing better, and we've been throwing a lot at Kawhi, and we'll continue to do that.
Kawhi's the best player for Toronto. The emerging new star is Pascal Siakam, the smooth, fast-running forward. They had to play a 2-overtime game to just get win number one. Milwaukee's a better team, but are the Raptors ready after that double overtime thriller?
Just got to rest. Like, I think there's not really much you can do to prepare yourself for that type of intensity, you know. But I think, you know, we're ready. I'm ready. My body's, you know, need a little time to recover. But when it's game time, you know, I'm sure I'm gonna be 100%.
Ready to go. Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Raptors, trying to even the series at 2 games apiece. Rhythm is the key to getting another win.
Each game's its own entity. Just because, like, one guy played really great the last game doesn't mean he's going to do it again. We've seen that in all the series and in this one as well. And just because somebody plays poorly doesn't mean they're going to play poorly again. I think each night you go out there with the hopes of giving everybody their shot at it and see how the field goes, see how the matchups turn out. And then you try to make the decisions and roll with who's rolling.
There you go. So game four tonight. And again, the Golden State Warriors did what they had to do. How good has Steph Curry been? The numbers have been absolutely staggering what he's done with Kevin Durant on the sideline. He has just, I mean, brought his game to a level of when he was a superstar, when he was, you know, the number one player for everybody in basketball. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Time for our daily history lesson in the world of sports. Got a little local flavor to this one because on this day, May 21st, the year 2016, the 141st Preakness Stakes was run. Exaggeration was the horse. The jockey, Kent DeSormo from Maurice, Louisiana. DeSormo took him to the finish line in first place. His third Preakness win as a jockey. He had won three Kentucky Derbies as well and one Belmont Stakes. So on this day, Maurice, the pride of Maurice, Louisiana and Acadiana, Kent DeSormo aboard Exaggeration, winning the 141st Preakness Stakes. Not too shabby. All right. If today is your birthday, man, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great one. Brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Everything for your travel needs. Everything for your birthday party. They've got it there at DC's Little Capital Exxon, including that True Soul Food Deli. How about bring some of those world-famous cheeseburgers home? I'll serve that up on a platter and see how you'll be the king of your castle for the night, because everybody loves the cheeseburgers at DC's Little Capital Exxon. It's must-eat material. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. It's my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. You celebrate your birthday today with 60-year-old, I pity the fool, Clubber Lang, right? Mr. T is 60 years old today. The Saints traded away all their draft picks to get him, and it turned out to be a bust for Mike Ditka. Ricky Williams celebrating his 42nd birthday. He was a member of the Kentucky Wildcats, became a New Orleans Hornet. Big Cat, they called him. Happy 41st birthday to Jamal McGlure. How about that for a blast from the past? And happy birthday to LSU women's basketball coach Nikki Fargus. Got to start winning, Nikki. Got to start getting players or look out. But today's your birthday, so happy, happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary to you and to yours, your significant other. I hope you go out on the town and have a great night. Have some fun. So there you have it. Special thanks to our star-studded guest list today, Bill Franquez, live from Hoover, Alabama, talking about LSU baseball versus South Carolina tonight. First pitch, they say 8 o'clock. Yeah, you know, it's going to be later than that. Bucky McMillan, what an interesting study of his basketball star and now LSU's basketball fortune in Trendon Watford. Todd Walker calling the games tonight for the SEC Network, the former All-American from LSU, sharing his thoughts on the SEC tournament, and Will Guillory with his thoughts on the GM for the New Orleans Pelicans, Trajan Langdon. Everything's pointing in the positive direction. Now all sights set on Anthony Davis, and what do you do from there? So, tomorrow we'll recap LSU versus South Carolina. Hopefully, LSU will win it, and they'll be taking on Mississippi State. Those things and much, much more, whatever's coming down the pipeline, we'll have it for you tomorrow. CD, as always, we appreciate the great work that you do. To all of you for listening in, yes, indeed, to our partners that make it possible, you are the best. We only have one Tuesday. Man, make it a great afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty and bumper.